What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf. Thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman joins NASA, and the nominated administrator is Jarek Isaacman, a very brave man who's flown two private missions with SpaceX equipment, done a spacewalk by himself on his own, and is enormously qualified as an astronaut, as a jet pilot, as an adventurer, as a billionaire. And, Bob, a very good evening to you. There is talk. What is the talk? Good evening.
Well, the talk is on Behind the Black. This is me. I looked at the situation right now with Jared Isaacman, and I suddenly asked the question, is his nomination as NASA's administrator facing political headwinds? So this is my speculation based on my own personal experience watching D.C. swamp operate for the last 50 years. And it generates from the fact that in the last week there has been a slew of articles and actions within D.C. touting Jared Isaacman to be the administrator out of the blue. We had six governors write a letter to the Senate saying, hey, let's get this guy nominated. We got to have him. Jim Bridenstine, the former Republican administrative NASA during Trump's first administration, he came out and publicly said, you got to pick Isaacman. He's got to be the guy. There's no question to that. There have been several articles from different outlets, Space News and The Economist, touting Isaacman as the perfect choice for this. He'll do good planetary defense program, and he's really a great guy. I look at all this and I say to myself, there's only one reason this is happening for any nominee at this stage, and that's because there's trade winds against him, and there are indications why that's the case. For one thing, his nomination is delayed. Unlike every other nominee that Trump has put forth, the motion to get him nominated has not been fast. And it's coming from the Trump administration. They have not yet submitted the paperwork to the Senate so that they can schedule hearings. The Trump administration is the fault of this. They have not yet done it. That doesn't fit the pattern with every other nominee coming from the Trump administration. They've got almost a record number of people appointed very quickly. But no, not with Eric Isaacman. He's still sitting. And there was a news article in January that might explain all this and might explain why there are tread winds under behind the curtain that we don't know about. This was a Washington Examiner story that revealed that Isaacman, over the last decade and a half, has contributed almost $300,000 to Democratic Party candidates exclusively. And in addition, it's not necessarily he can support who he wants, but only Democrats. And the second thing is that his companies across the board have been proudly supportive of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And only recently, since he was nominated, have those sites removed websites that those companies removed websites that touted the DEI as a wonderful thing and their quota programs for racial hiring. And so it strikes me very possibly that there are a lot of senators in the Republican Party are very uncomfortable with this. And it could very well be also that the Trump administration is very uncomfortable with this. We have to remember Trump's previous term, his experience there, that he thought he could come to Washington and as president he would have the power and the people in the executive branch would do as he says. And he found, of course, he was sabotaged every step of the way, which is why with this administration, he came in cleaning house aggressively from day one. He's not trusting anybody who was there before. And his picks for appointments have all been people who very clearly had demonstrated reliability in matters of what Trump wants to do. So there could very well be problems for Isaacman down thing. Now, I'm speculating. I could be 100% wrong. It's also possible these issues are an issue, but Isaacman can take care of them when he does interviews with senators, private senators. RFK did the same thing in getting his appointment. He managed to change some Republican minds who had doubts. So it's still unknown, but there's a question mark in my mind here, John.
NASA, three departments gone. One, obviously, DEI. What else, Bob?
Well, this is a funny story in several ways. As usual, the propaganda press, not us, John, and your outlets, but immediately started to call how mass firings were taking place at NASA under Trump's evil rule. Well, what actually happened is that the acting head of NASA, Janet Pirro, followed through with Trump's executive order that said they must shut down their DEI office and try to start trimming. And so what she did is she eliminated the DEI office and two other unneeded departments. These were policy advisory offices that were basically created or recreated during Biden's administration, so he could give jobs to his buddies. They don't do anything but advise the management. Well, management should know what it's doing, and if it needs advice, it goes to the people involved, not some advisory department. So he got rid of these people, and the total number of people in this mass firing was 23. So this just tells you once again that when you read articles now about how disaster is going to strike with the Trump house cleaning, be careful. Be susceptible. This might not be as disastrous as you seem. In this case, NASA's getting rid of fat. That'll give it money to do other things. It'll make it more efficient. It's a good thing.
NASA's going to put a headquarters in every red state. Is that the news?
Every red state is arguing and lobbying to get the NASA headquarters. Ohio has joined Florida now in advocating that it is the best location to put the NASA headquarters in the Trump house cleaning. And there have been the Space Transition Team had indicated that it wants to move the headquarters out of D.C. and cut its staffing gigantically, and that makes sense. Since NASA has accepted the customer model where the private enterprise does everything, you really don't need that many NASA people in headquarters. And there's no reason to have it in D.C. And so now Ohio's lawmakers have signed a letter and sent it to Vance and Jared Isaacman, who's supposed to be the next administrator, asking that they consider Ohio as the possible location. I think that this is going to happen in some way, but not necessarily in Ohio. It could go to Florida. It also could go to Texas. The simple fact is the most logical places to put NASA's headquarters are in red states, because they're pro-private enterprise, and that's where all the private enterprise in space has generally been congregating. And so that's where we stand there, John.
What is relativity?
Relativity is one of those rocket startups that actually did launch a rocket, and it initially touted itself as the company that was going to build the first entirely 3D printed rocket. It launched its parent one, I'd say about a year and a half ago. It was the only launch. It didn't make orbit. And immediately after the launch, they announced they were going to drop that rocket and they were going to shift focus to building their much larger commercial Terran R rocket. Well, I posted a link on Behind the Black this week to a video update that the company provided about its standing, how it stands right now with developing Terran R. And it's a very detailed, very, very detailed video showing exactly what they're doing. They recently changed CEOs. The company founder, Tim Ellis, moved into the stepped down as CEO and became part of the board of directors, and they picked a former Google CEO, Eric Schmidt, as their new CEO. And the company has abandoned the idea of all 3D printing. It never really made sense. They are now shifting to many of their operations are being built, but parts of their rocket are going to be built from metal and aluminum and standard procedures, and they're getting sub-vendors to do it. The company looks good, but I don't know when they'll do their first launch. They said they were going to do it in 26 before, but the video says nothing about that. And so we'll have to wait and see how the company plays out, John.
Bob, it's been a while. Remind us all what ULA is.
ULA is United Launch Alliance. It's one of the main competitors with SpaceX. Not very good. It's an old space company. It's formed from a partnership of Boeing and Lockheed Martin. They are trying to replace their old Atlas V rocket with the Vulcan rocket. They've done two launches with Vulcan. The second launch was to get them certified by the military to do operational commercial launches for the Pentagon. Well, during that second launch, even though they got the payload in orbit, which was their requirement, during the launch, one of the two side boosters on the rocket, the nozzle fell off. It's not something you want happening on a rocket. But so they've been doing research, and according to ULA's CEO, Tory Bruno, they have located the source of the problem. It was a manufacturing defect in the nozzle. He could not reveal a lot of details, he said, for proprietary reasons. But he says they've figured it out, and they know how to fix it, and they've already have fixed it on future rockets. That hasn't changed the military, though. The military still has not certified ULA to launch, and they've had to hold up Vulcan launches for the military now for months because they haven't gotten certification. They expected certification by now from the military once they identified the problem. The military could demand that they do another Vulcan launch with some other payload, not military, to prove the rocket's 100%. We don't know. It's standing by. What has happened, though, is the delay has caused ULA to reduce its predicted number of launches for this year from 20 to 12. They haven't even gotten anything off yet this year because of this problem.
What's happened to ULA, Bob? It was a dominant player for many years, and now it seems like it's lost momentum. You visited ULA at one point, and you were encouraged by the ideas of the future.
No, I've never visited ULA, John. ULA, it was a big space company when the military set up a monopoly where ULA would be the only launch provider. Basically, the American industry was dying. And ULA was dominant, but it was a dying industry. SpaceX came along and sued to get competition, and the competition has revitalized the industry, but the old big space company, ULA, has trouble competing. And that's its problem right now. And we'll see if it can survive. There are good reasons to believe it will not when new companies start, like Relativity, start arriving.
Checking my memory. I remember you visiting Vandenberg, but I don't remember what happened when you went to Vandenberg.
Yeah, I visited Vandenberg as a tour of the whole spaceport. So I got to see the facilities, and I got to see ULA's then launch pad for its Atlas V. But I got to see SpaceX's operations. That launch pad is now run by SpaceX, not ULA.
I remember there being ULA seems to have fallen out of favor. Is that accurate?
Well, it's because, it's not so much falling out of favor. They have contracts. And Vulcan is their potential future. But once again, Vulcan is not reusable, so it can't quite compete from a financial point of view with SpaceX. So their military contracts is their big deal. That and Kuiper from Amazon. Those are its two big contracts. And until it becomes reusable, and they say they were going to upgrade it to that, it will not be able to compete with SpaceX for anything else.
What about morale? What about momentum? The sort of thing we worry about with Blue Origin. Do we know anything about it at ULA?
It's hard to say, John. I do know this, that there were rumors that ULA was on the block to be sold, but no sale has occurred. And that could indicate no one wants it. It's a very interesting situation. ULA has potential. There's no doubt about it. And Tory Bruno, the CEO, has done his best job possible with this old-style company to make it competitive. But once again, it's a tough deal right now.
It feels like the Intel of rocketry, Bob. That's what I'm thinking. All right.
Yeah.
Falcon 9, there's been an assessment of what happened.
Yes, during one of the launches recently, the first stage successfully landed, but a fire at the base of the rocket damaged one of the legs. It broke. The thing fell over. I got a great picture on Behind the Black of the booster lying on its side on the bar, on the drone ship as it's returning to port. They've now identified what the problem was. They say there was a fuel leak during launch, but there was no oxygen to ignite that fuel leak until it came down and landed. And once it landed, the oxygen started to leak into the compartment, and the fire started after landing. This is not the first fuel leak that SpaceX has recently had. This is a problem that they now, I think, have to address aggressively because they've had several examples of it. None has affected an actual payload launch. They've gotten everything off successfully, but they lost the first stage, and they've had some upper stages fail after deployment, and that's something that needs to be fixed.
More Starlink business. Who's smart enough to sign Starlink?
of India, two of India's biggest telecom companies that give, you know, internet and phone service, have signed deals with SpaceX to provide Starlink to its customers. And there was a regulatory kerfuffle in India a few years ago when SpaceX tried to sell its terminals directly to customers, and they weren't going to have that because there's a lot of political power, turf war. So the India has instead said, SpaceX, if you want to sell your terminals to our country, it's got to go through our telecom companies. That way they get their cut in the deal. And so that's what's happened. It also indicates that OneWeb is once again losing business, because OneWeb had the in India because it's half owned by Indian investors. But because the system is designed where they can't sell terminals directly to customers, but instead the signals go through a ground station, they got to build the ground stations. And it seems that OneWeb has been slow to do that. So Starlink keeps coming in and taking business away.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, we're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving, it's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learn to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.